there were questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. We've now reached the Unify level of Illumify. As you may well know by now, to Illumify means to illuminate the change that matters most to you, to amplify it so it also matters to those who can help realize it, and to unify, to align them in thought and action as a collective to ignite your meaningful change. Jonathan began this leader's journey more than 50 episodes ago now by answering the Illuminate questions to surface his vision of meaningful change. He then completed the Amplify level by answering the robust and often challenging questions that revealed how to make his vision of change meaningful enough for others to help realize it. And now he's reached Unify, where his words, so beautifully expressed in capturing his vision, now need to generate action. It's where too many visions of change falter and fade because their leaders assume that when others know about the vision, they will automatically act to help achieve it. And they don't, unless leaders explicitly convey what compels others to think and act in alignment. Please read the reference cards before we begin Unify.
Illumify. To illuminate the change that matters most to you. Amplify it so it also matters to those who can help realize it. And unify, to align in thought and action as a collective to ignite meaningful change.
Go back to the last one, please, given we are in Unify.
Yes, we need to underline this and repeat it. Unify. Unify, to align in thought and action as a collective to ignite meaningful change.
And read the last three words again, please.
To ignite meaningful change.
There you go. You gave more substance to the word meaningful. Your vision is meaningful, right? To you and to those you've identified and will identify as you apply it. Thank you. And on to the guidelines card, please.
Guidelines. Number one. Answer from your heart, not from your head. Two, listen to yourself with care and focused attention. Three, do not judge the validity or viability of your answers. This is about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist.
This may be an unfair question, Jonathan, at this point, but based on your reading and your understanding, current understanding of what Unify is, and you look at these three guidelines, is there any one of them that you think may be even more significant in this element of Unify?
Right now, and for what we're coming into here?
Yes, yeah.
That's a very good question. Something is telling me here, looking at the final part of the guidelines, where we're talking about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist. Something is telling me here that we're still in the new, very much in the new. This is still, even now, after all the conversations and the grappling with it and the grounding, this new grounding of the vision, we're still in something that still does not yet exist.
Yes. That's right.
And that's important, I think. Is this a last chance of freedom?
Escape freedom? Retreat?
No, I'm joking. The last moment, perhaps the last moment where we have this freedom.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a freedom to sit here.
Ah, without acting.
With the vision.
It. Yeah. Hold it. Hold it close. Just pause for a while.
Mm, yeah. A little bit of that. Knowing that it is still new.
Yes. Yeah.
In the sense of unknown to others.
Okay.
That's what I'm
seeing. Do you
seeing.
Feel that you know it yourself and know that you know how to amplify it for others? Do you feel a level of comfort in that?
The relief and the comfort I felt yesterday, I think, is something I can take forward.
Great.
It's useful.
Okay. Great.
There is a warmth there and a reassurance, which I think is useful. And I want to take forward, if only because it's this lovely balance between the clarity of the vision and my commitment to it. So there is something hard there. I've talked a lot about all the opposites, the necessary softness, the necessary porosity, the necessity of bringing in not only new ideas, but challenges and objections in the amplify stage as we test it. It's rare that I've talked about the necessary hardness or the welcome hardness. What I mean there is that there is something about the DNA. There's something about the core of the vision, which feels ready.
Okay.
And that's in this balance with this what I called the loosening of the language, mm-hmm. which felt good and necessary. And as I look to unify now and look at this final guideline, which was speaking to me, this is about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist. That balance feels right and necessary as we go into this new section where this is still new. I have the clarity within my own mind about why the vision exists, why it's necessary, and the form it takes at its core. I talked yesterday about the sphere that contains all the different parts of the vision and how they reinforce each other and how they all interlock and feed into each other and support each other. A very clear idea of that. But this necessary and, I think, healthy give and suppleness in the language around that, because we entered into conversation with other people. And that demanded, that called for some give on my part, and the vision itself has to give a little bit, and the language has to give, not because we're making concessions or diluting or sweetening, but because the vision has to live and breathe. So that's what I'm taking into this as we look at the final guideline. This is about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist, that we're still there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is also exciting, is it not?
It is,
because
yeah.
Now you're really at the act of creation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Please read your first Unify question, Jonathan.
What is your powerful declaration of this change? Are you ready and able to express this change? If not, what's missing? Are you assured that they'll know why the change matters to them and they'll be ready and willing to take part? I feel that there is a strong core to my vision, which in its heart, in its essence, is it a declaration?
Absolutely. Every vision is a declaration.
In itself.
Yeah.
I want it to be a declaration that speaks to what is possible, but also says something important about the world that is as it is today. And this is perhaps taking us back to the grounding so that people can feel it and feel why it matters to them. Because this declaration has to win a battle, I think. If we go back to politics again, here we are in politics again. I think you would agree, Marianne, that again, we tend to focus a lot on, we look forward, who's got the best manifesto, who's got the best program, what are they going to do, what are they going to promise, are they going to deliver? So we're looking forward to what's going to happen. But I feel that an important part of the political battle, but I think it's true of my vision as well, is that there is a battle to describe the world. So if you want to change the status quo, you need to be able to describe it. It's like a diagnosis, I think.
Yes.
If you want to move people forward and inspire them, fill them with hope, a certain charge of excitement and a desire to act ultimately, I think you have to win the battle to describe what is today. The reason I say this is, sure, we've discussed this at length, there is part of my vision and part of its declaration, which is a recognition of suffering. I think that's important. And that has to be there. That there is truth in the vision there. That's where the vision is true to itself if it's going to offer something better. But it's also fundamentally about how we see and how we describe our own humanity. And if there is something that has given me this new energy in recent times, I talked about anger, I talked about what's at stake right now. Part of this is, I feel there are starkly competing visions of what it is to be human at the moment. There is a dark view of humanity, which I reject. A very dark view of our ability to live together, which I reject. The reason I'm saying all of this is I feel that my declaration at the heart of the vision is there. So if I have this clarity around the vision, I called it the DNA. I offered a different image, and we've gone back and forth between a home and a tree. The language of the vision talks about a shared home, rightly. And I'm certainly not abandoning that. But we've used the tree a lot, and that feels very relevant now as we come into Unify, because the tree has to branch out. And at the core of the tree is the trunk, the DNA. The core of the vision is the trunk that is rooted in the soil. And then the manifestations, the different forms, the branching out of the vision into different parts of our social life, cultural life, political life, they are the branches of the tree. So if I look at this question, are you ready and able to express this change? What is the powerful declaration? I have a very clear idea of the core, the DNA. I don't think it's fundamentally different. Why would it be? I think it's fundamentally the same as the vision that I first expressed in London at the end of Illuminate.
And remember, Jonathan, back to declarations. The word here is, what is your powerful declaration of this change? We spoke about some leaders historically and the powerful declarations that they have made. What great leaders do is make powerful declarations that speak to what could be that isn't yet. So you know there are different types of declarations, one of which is a vision. A vision is a declaration. I wasn't going to bias you or prejudice you in this question by saying what I'll say now. This should be easy for you. Your powerful declaration, you have the words. They're sitting literally in front of you right now. You don't have to look at them because they're integrated into you. So give us your declaration. Give us your vision in your words, please.
The vision is of a shared home that we build together on fresh soil so that together we may live in dignity and freedom, in loving respect of the limitless diversity, not only between us, but within us, within the heart and the soul of each of us. And through that respect of our diversity, we see that we need each other, not only in love and friendship and camaraderie, not only in our sense of solidarity, our sense of the common good, but because we need each other to become our true selves, our best selves. And we can only do all of this if we pursue the truth, if we celebrate the truth and the people across our community who have fought for the truth.
And where does humanity fit into that?
I think that that vision is infused with a sense of our common human dignity and decency. And I think it speaks to a huge appetite to live together, work together, to help and support each other, which for too long has been drowned out by a vision that asks us to compete, to divide ourselves, whether into
and
tribes.
Conquer, divide and conquer.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So there is a vision of within the vision there is a vision of humanity, which I think stands in stark contrast to what we see.
So thank you for that. Now, of course, I would challenge you, not now, to be a little more succinct, because there is so much to your vision and it's not about diluting it. The broad vision in full, as you've so beautifully expressed, is magnificent. And let me pause there and ask each of you, Brittany and Jean, did you feel something? What did that do to your heart as you listened?
I did, especially in the beginning. I felt this is a vision that I can get behind.
Ah, well, you've answered the next question. Jean, how about you?
The feeling that it's something we can do, accomplish together.
Yeah. It's doable.
It's doable.
But it doesn't exist now, does it? How does it feel, Jonathan, to know just in that iteration you have stirred hearts and connected?
I'm very glad that I've stirred Jean in some way, because Jean, my poor friend, had to listen to it a few times now. It risks becoming an old record for Jean. So I'm glad.
Does it, Sean? Does it risk becoming an old record?
Well, as we said, it's like reading a book again and again and again. It just you understand nuance in it, and you understand something you haven't seen, understood before.
So, and you're reading between the lines.
And you read between the lines. So now I'm not getting tired.
You're not bored, are you?
No, I'm not bored at all.
No, it's not bored.
Thank you. That's very good to hear.
Sure to hear that. So when I say you'll also become more succinct, it's only with view, and this is again where your messages will help you, for others to bring it forth, because no one will be able to put all those words to it the way you do because of your mastery of language. But also, it is only you that is responsible for painting that image so clearly and in enough detail that allows people to start to see it for themselves. So I think what you did was fantastic. I'm just saying, if someone is to ask you, you know, what is your vision, you can also, I know you, it'll take maybe a little trying, but or a little collaboration, but you will also get the essence of it down to a fewer words.
That's the challenge now, I think. Yeah. It's how do you get to an essence without chopping bits off?
Exactly.
Or compressing, or that's the
and you can, you will. And one version won't replace the other. They will knit together beautifully. You'll pull depending on the scenario, et cetera.
And this is where we start to play with language, but there are also openings here where the vision rightly, I mean, it should, you know, if I stick to this idea of a sphere, I'm very drawn to this idea of the sphere.
There's
wholeness there.
When you said that yesterday, yep. I went for a walk last night, yep. And in a shop window down the street here is a sphere of the world. It's made of, it's sculpted, and I think it was maybe copper, but it was open from the front and then just the perimeter of it. And it, to me, it brought your sphere to life. It was remarkable. Mm.
I think it's a wonderful symbol of unity.
That's unity.
Mm.
Because you're...
Yes, and it. But with all the give that
talked
about as well, the suppleness.
About. Yeah, and the ability to invite people in because it's not a closed door, so to speak.
Yes, yes. That's right. And I think... The challenge is to find language that does justice to that idea of the sphere, and where, I mean, you use the word essence, Marianne. I think that's very helpful as something to look for, to aspire to, the essence of it.
Yeah.
And there are bridges that help us to get there. In our conversation yesterday, we saw how parts 1, 2, and 3 of the vision are necessarily interlinked.
And even the fact that, because you start to use the word part 1, part 3, and that's why at one point I went to you and said, well, what are they?
Mm.
The very fact that you could distill it into its parts and 3 parts.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, that was one of the more sort of practical work-like benefits of the conversation we had yesterday, starting to feel very comfortable about the 1, 2, 3, because it wasn't the clear divisions of 3 bullet points, but it was 3 parts that interlock and come to a whole. How that gets you to a sphere is a challenge. I don't know if it's an astrophysicist or a painter, an artist, who would give the best answer to the question of how you go from 3 parts to a sphere.
I have an idea.
Go on.
Yesterday, as you were introducing in more detail the idea of the sphere, it allowed me to take the 3 parts that you had previously mentioned and link them together in an interconnected and all-encompassing way. Because my mind wants to take 3 parts and make it linear.
Yes.
And when you brought in the sphere, it made it it made it simultaneous and all around and all at once.
I think that's exactly what we're trying to get to.
There's a word for that, isn't there? There's a graphic symbol of that, and it's escaping me right now. Well done on that. I can see it. I'll pull up the word later.
Okay.
I think Brittany, that's exactly where we're trying to go, and that's also the essence, the unity of an essence. And if I look at the language, and this is where I'm just playing around here, but one of the, you know, you can start to unify parts one and two by saying we are free. We are free to follow our own path, but we never walk alone.
You'll do them. Yeah. And how you link diversity and truth yesterday.
Yes. Is there the truth, our inner brokenness, our inner fractions that leads to unity? Because what is more true of our common humanity than our own brokenness, our own vulnerability to temptation, our own...
But our own potential too, right?
Absolutely.
To soar.
Yes. Yeah. So yes, there will be language will help to bridge. Language will help to bridge the three parts of the vision.
Do you know anybody who's pretty adept at language?
I've got a few friends who are good at it.
There's that English modesty again. I love it. So back to declaration, Jonathan. This question is, what is your powerful declaration of this change? And you beautifully expressed your vision in its vastness. It may get even more vast, you know, as...
It will branch out, exactly. It has to.
So you did that beautifully and poignantly, and you've stirred us and anyone, I believe, listening to this. Let's go to a few threads in the prompts because, well, actually, that is your powerful declaration, but that is not what you've just shared as your vision, is not your only powerful declaration, is it? Do you remember the one you began with today?
Yeah.
Can you cite that one?
Today we break with the past.
And?
Today we break with the past and stand together on new ground.
That's another very powerful declaration.
I love it. My only hesitation about it, or where I see a limit, is that, well, okay, sounds great, but there are so many different types of vision.
Of course, but it's an opening.
As an opening, it's great. Clarifying details.
And as a spark.
Sure.
Because again, status quo, as you say, if you've got people, and we've talked about this at length, normalizing what is, that's what they know, that's the familiar, and that ground they're standing on is challenging in some way, maybe a little unstable, they share some concerns, and you open with whatever was is in the past. We break with the past. And not only do we not continue that past, now there's a break. So you're giving them permission to believe in a break and believe there's a possibility for change, and you add... And we stand, not just stand on, we stand together on new ground. And then you go on. Powerful declaration that can spark, certainly engage. So the use of a declaration, and you actually had many more as well. They're all in my notes. So you have an ability, because of your mastery of language, to make many different powerful declarations. And as you do that, you choose, I mean, you could literally sit down sometime and just write them and create sort of a menu of declarations. and then you pull the declaration that fits at that moment in time, those people, based on where they're at that moment in time, and where you have an opportunity to move them further toward your vision.
I'm going to say something that feels very snobbish now.
Oh, go for it.
There's part of me here wants to avoid the notion of slogans.
Ooh, slogans. I don't like slogans
right.
either.
That's right. Slogans. That's why I'm being snobbish.
And they're not mantras either. Yeah. Remember, we talked about
that's
that.
That's right. No, we had a great conversation about mantras and what they are. Yeah.
So what?
I'm coming
why
back
the
to,
slogan concern?
Right. Well, because I think it's that, you know, we talked about politics. That's where the resistance.
What about elevating? Elevate.
Well, yeah, I'm going back to Jean's notion of integrity, because there's that I sense that when the winds blow, I'm going to be holding on to that for dear life.
It's a good thing to hold on to, isn't it, Jean?
Yeah, because I think if you keep coming back to the source, if you keep coming back to the source again and again, grounding yourself, so you're getting the language from the vision, from the same being.
Yes.
Again and again and again, the same source. There's integrity there. Mm-hmm. And depending on the audience, depending on the context, depending on which, you know, depending on which mood you're in as well.
it's good you see that.
you'll find different words. But to retain the integrity, you have to be coming back to the same source, the same place.
Drawing from the same well,
exactly. Lovely. And that if the branches are coming from the same roots and from the same trunk, and the trunk that gives them support, then we're going to be okay.
I see a mighty oak.
Yeah. That's one of the symbols of Nottingham.
Oh, as, for heaven's sake. We're back to Nottingham again.
There you
I
go.
Love it.
Nottingham. Nottingham Forest.
We still really haven't explored the Robin Hood part of you.
No.
But I digress. Keep going.
Yeah.
I know. It's there.
Yeah. No, I just like how we flip back between, we've got three wonderful images which all work in different conversations. And it is three. I think it's three. It's the home.
Yes.
And that's it's right at the start of the vision, a shared home.
Yeah.
And all of the very human and warm connotations that come with home, and the idea of home, but also the physical, very physical place of home. We have the tree and the soil, something being rooted and something which lives and breathes.
Mm.
It's difficult to talk about a home that lives and breathes. It's a tree
well,
that lives and breathes.
Well, the fresh air coming
grows.
In, the ventilated.
You can, yeah, you can
post.
Try.
Yeah.
You can wangle it, but it's much better to talk about a tree. And you have the wonderful idea of rooting and grounding, but then
and
something.
And seedlings even.
Yes, exactly. So I think the tree at times, depending on the conversation we're having, has been more useful than the home, but then the sphere as well, which is, and that this is a pure abstract, the beauty of the abstract and the way we need the abstract sometimes to help us actually get clarity. So they're all really, really useful at different times. I think for the statement, and as we work towards the essence of the statement, it's the home. I think that's where we're going to, I think the shared home is, it's, you know, I can almost feel with, you know, the CNN journalist on TV. I'm calling it, Bob. I'm calling it. Yeah, it's 2 a.m, but we're calling it. It's the shared home.
How does that feel?
Good. Yeah, no, it feels good.
That kind of was your starting point, wasn't it?
It was. But the more we've talked about it, it hasn't lost any color or strength. It's actually become stronger, I think.
And you have said at points, and I think it was even yesterday, and again this morning, about how home means something to all of us.
Mm-hmm. in a deep way, we're driven
to be at home.
Jonathan came full circle in this conversation. He began with a shared home, wandered through trees, gravitated to a sphere, and tangled with roots, and ultimately returned to home. He sees now that his vision of a shared home is the core, or perhaps foundation, of his meaningful change. The leader's journey continues.
If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.